Blog Talk Radio.
Favor, but all is well. I went down for a minute, but I'm back.
was really feeling awful, but I know God was in control. I had to keep telling him, I trust you, God, and I'm back today. I was choking, and I know I'm on the spiritual attack, and when you're serving God. So I had two of my sons here to take care of me. They had to cook and do everything for me. I had to cancel their appointment, but thank God for the land of the living, not dead. And I just want to give God praise, honor, and glory. So how you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm better than you are here tonight.
I'm here. We got two services in one tonight, okay? The word we'll be speaking on, first of all. Yes, Pastor?
No, go ahead.
First, I'd like to give honor to God and a man of God and all the women of God, daughters of the King, even the sons of God, daughters of the King. So as we get into the word, what it means to have complete trust in the Lord. Amen? That is our word tonight. And I want to speak on this first, and then we'll get in part two. And I pray to God to get the able to finish, but it is awesome. You ready? All right. What is it? You ready? You didn't pray to Pastor?
Yes, I done prayed this in.
All right, I welcome everybody. What it means to have complete trust in the Lord. Education and learning have become idols to which people increase bowing. They bow down to. We live in a time of excellent pride in human knowledge and accomplishment. The information humanitarian has amassed is more than any individual can fully comprehend, and is almost incubiously available. We got some words tonight, ladies, but we're talking about how we didn't put things before God. And first of all, it's talking about education, making it an idol. You know, you can get in to people and get to talking, I have this degree and that degree. But when I look in the Word of God, wisdom is most and knowledge. But I'm going to go to Hosea 4:6, okay? It said, in the word of God, many of my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Not the knowledge of what's going on around the world, but the knowledge of who God is, what God says in the word, who it says you are. The knowledge is seeking the kingdom of God. Knowledge of knowing to seek first the kingdom of God. Knowledge is knowing that I have an almighty God, that he's in control. Amen. And degrees are good. I'm not downing a person that has degrees. I'm telling you, a lot of people will get up, I have this, I have a master, I have a bachelor, I have a doctorate. But when you ask them about something about God, they can't really even tell you. They'll tell you what school they went to. I just got finished watching a movie. You're going to have to excuse my voice. It's kind of scraggly tonight. I looked at a person that they had money, and I'm going to give you a little prephrase in this. So I was looking at a movie, and the movie, everything I watch, I learned something from, because I always say in the Word, for the last 14, 20 years, they're studying the Word of God. I looked at the person, they was wanting to get in a school, and it was Yale. The person went in there and studied the person that was doing the interviewing so they can get in Yale to impress others, to impress. So I looked at that as a whoa. So as I get into the word tonight, this is how a lot of people are, and then they'll throw their paper up in someone's face. But in the word of God, the foolishness of the world will confound the wise. Okay? I looked at a lot of things into about wisdom, knowledge, understanding. When I didn't know who I was, you know, when you don't know who you are, you'll follow any doctrine, anything. But when God said, I have called you, I called you by name, and that's Isaiah 41:10. God have called you, and that is knowledge. That is wisdom, because you know where the call came from. It is a kingdom call. It's all right to have degrees now. I'm not knocking degrees because I had to go back and get paperwork too, but I don't let it override the knowledge of God. Amen? All right. We are surrounded by a culture where we are design and rights of individuals and corporate considered the greatest good. where you can have whatever I want or whatever I want to be or whatever I can. I want, as long as it doesn't harm others or keep them from their own desire. Now, when I look at that, how many people I want to do this, and a lot of people will step on other people to get ahead. That is not what God have called his people. He called his people to righteous. And when you don't know who you are, you will do things that's uncomprehending against the word of God. I had a person, I'm going to beat you in this, you know, competition, a competitive spirit. I dealt with many competition spirits when I came into the knowledge of God, and a lot of people use the big intellect words, and I went here and I went there, but out in school I went to the hard knocks of Jesus, and that was studying the word of God to know the things of God. So I had many things that try to knock me down, but when I look back, long as I have seek first the kingdom, God told you there's no lack of want. There's no lack of want in the kingdom of God. When you're seeking the things of God and knowing who you are, God said in Jeremiah 29:11, you don't have to knock anybody down. You'll get there because if God wants you to be there, you'll get there. And he says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for who? You. Plans to prosper, not harm. Plans to give you a hope and a future. It is not saying I'm going to go, I'm going to take this person's job because I want it. It's not about it. That's a want. When God has somewhere for a place for you, I was talking to one of my pastor brothers the other day, and they was looking for certain things. I'm not going to go all into detail. I said, God will place you where he desire you to be effective for the kingdom of God. Yes, you have papers. You have your doctorate. But ask God, where do you want me to be? When you ask God, he'll place you when you don't even have a degree. Now, in my life, I have been in many different jobs and careers. Did not fill an application. I didn't know nobody. God just told me there. I said, whoa. Oh. And it blew my everlasting mind because of this what I said. I trust you, God. I need you. I don't have a finance. I need a job. I need a career. He placed me in places that he needed me to be a beacon of light. Sometimes God will place you someplace that he needs you to be. In this dark world, a lot of people, dog eat dog. I don't like using that term, but that is not what God told us to do. Okay? And he tells us to love our neighbor. Even the people on your jobs are your neighbors. You might not know that, but he didn't taught me many things. The people on the street is your neighbor. But when you're on a job or in school, everybody has their own assignment. God has everybody on this earth, and everybody on this earth serves a purpose. Amen? So let's look at, to trust is to place your confidence only in God. I put my trust in God, not in my doctrine, not in my piece of paper, not in who I know. I put my trust totally in God, not even in myself or what I know. When it comes to God, I say, I don't know nothing. When I tell God that he gives me the answer, I didn't been in a predicament and didn't know nothing. Put me on a place and I didn't know not one answer. Passed it. Not cheated. I passed it because I said, Lord, I trust you. I did it before, but he didn't want me in that position. I failed. I have no problems. I failed in that area of an OSHA. OSHA was a place. I'm just giving y'all background about certain things because some might have went for jobs and say you're not qualified. If God wants you to be there, he's going to qualify you. I lost my job for 4 or 5 years went to the unemployment, did everything they said. Qualified for the job, but listen, I came out the door crying. But I didn't know God like I know him today. My son, they told me I was overqualified for every job I filled out for. And all of them was making, back then, $40,000 to $50,000. They said we could not. I told them I would take a pay cut. They said we can't even do that with you. I came out of a place crying. But when I look back today, God didn't want me to be there. So If you're going through any hard changes about jobs and stuff right now, ask God to place you where he wants you to be. He'll give you the wisdom and knowledge. You don't have to know anybody. Amen? The first scripture I'll be going into, trust is the place your confidence, place your trust confident only in God, okay? Now, I'm going to bag this up with every scripture because God didn't gave it to me. And I'm so glad to be back with you all. I hope I'm not talking too fast. I hope you have your paper and a pen. Now, the scripture we're going to be in, if you have your Bible, go to Proverbs 3 and 5. And I look at a lot of people, so I trust in how I look, walk, talk. I trust my car. I trust the pastor. I trust this. I trust that. But they left out one thing. They didn't say, I trust in the Lord. God must be magnified, exalted, acknowledged. You must acknowledge, I put my trust, like I went through a hard time, you all. I've been in the bed for 7 days, really 8 days, coughing, strangling, and I had to keep on saying, Lord, I trust you. I thought I was going to have to call 911. I'm up today. It was a hard day for me to even get up, and I had to say, Lord, I trust you. My life is in your hands. I'm going to be able to breathe. I'm going to be able to talk. I couldn't even talk. I'm still got to see recovering because, I can still feel it, but I want to be able to impart knowledge with you all that what God has given me for 2 weeks now. Amen. Trust in yourself. No, it don't say that. Trust in your money. It don't say that. Trust in who you know. It don't say that. Trust in your degree. It does not say that. Trust in what your family told you, what your mother told you. It don't say none of that. This ain't nothing got to do with no man, no knowledge of who you are, what you know. It said trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of your heart, all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him, and he will direct that path. Trusting in the Lord means that more than believing in who he is and what he says. The word here for trusting can also mean to have confidence in having confidence in something, meaning having assurance that leads to action. Trust in the Lord is a faith that lets us speak boldly to serve him. This confidence should infuse our whole being. All of our knowledge, wisdom, and will, all of our knowledge, wisdom, and will should be saturated in the action preceding assurance of the Lord. When we lean on our own understanding, we trust our own knowledge, our discernment, to support us through life. As Jeremiah said, go to Jeremiah 17:9. Excuse me. It tells us the problem with this is that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Our own sinful nature can't be counted on. But the new heart are given by the Christ through the Holy Spirit. We cultivate God's trusting heart by meditating on the scripture, the word of God, taking time to pray, patience, Bible study, companion with other believers. And these things turns our heart to a spirit living in us. We will rely less on ourselves and more on Christ, serving him in good times and bad times, in sick and in health, in the battle with sin, and in the peace of his rest. Amen? Now let's look at this second one. To trust is to acknowledge God in everything. Okay? I always say praise the Lord. There are a lot of people don't understand that. I bring him on the scene. I have to acknowledge who he is. I'm nothing without him. I live and move and have my beings only through him. I live in Christ. See, I died with him, so I live with Christ. Pastor, let's take a break right fast. I got another call coming in. Pastor.
All right. Okay. Well, let's play some music here. All righty. Let's play Imagination by Citizens. Oh. Alrighty, I hope the music. Now back to Wanda.
Yes, praise the Lord. That was awesome worship music. So let's get back in to acknowledge God in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If we dedicate ourselves in trusting and seeking God in all circumstances, we believe in that life will be easy, that it be no trouble, we'll be beside ourselves. We have to all experience enough in life to know that this isn't the case. Instead, that we can expect it is all in a journey. The ultimate leads to Him, and we will not be shaken when trials come. That's Jeremiah 17 gives us clarity. Blessed, we're going to Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He trusts in the Lord, he will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For his leaves remain green and will not be anxious in the years of drought. But it does not cease to bear fruit. It is not that life no longer has difficulty, but that those difficulties are not nothing to fear, and that we can remain confident in God in the midst of them. He will keep us vibrant and useful for his will, even when we feel like languished or in the times are against us. As we trust more in Jesus and have confidence to act on his will, we may have to turn down opportunities that seem great because Jesus has called us elsewhere, or to accept the calling that will scare us. Acknowledging God in everything means that we remember that no circumstance comes to us outside of the Father's will, knowing that he will give us strength, even though in the difficult pain and fear, because we know that God will never leave our side. Trusting in God is the fear of the Lord. I've been Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Put trust in the wisdom of a man. Looking to ourselves, both individual and quote, cooperatively and fluently, it is extremely. For the wisdom of the world is foolish with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in his own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thought of the wise. Therefore, let no one boast in men. And that's 1 Corinthians 3:19 and 24:21. Whenever we think we know, the Lord knows more. He is more than capable of both shaming our own supposed wisdom and using us for the greater purpose. So how can we learn to trust God's wisdom and not our own? The solution is being wise in our own. The solution is not being wise in our own eyes. It's to stand in awe of the Lord, to live in respect and fear of him. Being scared of God is an idea uncomfortable for someone. They want God to be loving and welcome, but to truly understand the scopes of God's love, you must understand that he is also terrifying. His holiness, size, power, beauty, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, and purpose, person can incomprehend. His anger at sin is stacked. He is such the Bible gives several accounts of people falling down as they though they was dead at the mere is the mirror of his presence. The cure for us is being enormous by our own knowledge is to understand in how sublime and fearsome our God is. The fear of the Lord not only makes his love of kindness that much more incredible, but also motivates us to avoid evil in any other form. For what attracts can sin hold on the face of such a fearsome God? To trust is God. Now, the next one we're in, to trust is to receive life in Christ. And I'll be in Proverbs 3 and 8. Proverbs 3, 8 said, it will be healing to our flesh and refreshing to our bones. Trust in a fear and awe of the Lord revives. The word of flesh here is only used in two other verses in the Bible. One, it means umbilical cord, and in the other, navel. Therefore, the healing spoke of here has a connotation of birth. as if the Lord, as if trusting in the Lord is tantamount to rebirth. The right in Proverbs contrasts the image of the birth of those of the deaf. The trust and fear of the Lord is like a drinking water to dry bones, and that's Ezekiel 37, where the word of the Lord revives a valley of dry bones. He brings them together with the word and uses it in prophetic metaphor of how he can pour his spirit unto his people. Regardless of the pain and hardship endured, Jesus understands that he can use them for the good and his glory in all ways with we can always comprehend. He can prove healing is unexpected way, even when hope seems lost, because truly our hope is in him. The perfect trusted in Jesus is the next one. Trusting in the Lord is the only path to life, and nowhere is this thing more full than the life and the work of Christ in his life. He trusted the Father totally, even to his own death. Through his own work on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascendance, he offered us a new life, poured his spirit into our heart. In this course, replaced trust, broken promise, and damaged life. Only Jesus, unshakable, unchanging, unbreakable, and worth of all the trust. Only he trust the Father perfect with all his heart, making straight pathway for salvation. So we too can trust him. Through him, God offers healing, wisdom, and love to the world. If we would only acknowledge him in all ways. Amen? That's the first.
Amen.
That's the first. Now, we can do an altar call, but we have another segment. The next one, how to trust God when you don't understand. Man.
Amen. Hey, you want me to do the altar call now, Pastor Warner?
We can do an altar call or do another worship or whenever you want to do it.
I'll do it after the second one.
Okay, let's go. That's it. Let's hear one song, and we still going to be how to trust God when you don't understand.
Amen. Okay, we're going to play a song here by Joshua Leventhal called Wounded Heart.
Thank you. Trusting in God when you don't know how. Oh, boy. I was in the kitchen, but I'll praise the Lord. What an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. All right. All right. How to trust God when you don't know or understand. Right. You have to fully trust him. He is God when to know who God is. Hey there, sister. Have you ever experienced the challenge of trusting God when things don't seem to make sense? Have you struggled to not to lean on your own understanding? There are moments in life when we find ourselves in a place of uncertainty, unable to grasp the biggest picture. But it is precious in those moments that our trust in the Lord becomes vital. In Proverbs 3:5, we are to encourage to trust the Lord with all our heart and not to rely on our own understanding. But what does it truly mean? I will guide you in the journey of discovering how to trust God when you don't understand. It clues us. Anchor your faith when everything seems impossible. Faith is God is risking things. Trusting in the Lord means that you're putting ourselves and something in our lives on the line for something we can't necessarily see. Your situation might be a job. It might be that their trust when you don't understand how he provides for your rent the next month. No matter what, faith requires risk. Do you remember when you were a child and your mother and your dad gave you a rule of some kind? Maybe they told you not to play with matches or told you not to watch too much TV every day. I know when I was young, I never understood why mama stressed so much not to pay attention. Why stress, excuse me, y'all. My mama stressed, pay attention in school. But school was boring. I was shy. I didn't have many friends. Then one day when I was sitting there and crying while I had my homework or I was sitting in class, but my mind was everywhere else except the classroom, I imagined myself as an adult, married and being the cool mom that my kids and their friends would love. As a child, I never understood my parents' rule. I thought they was too strict. I grew to be a little bit resentful of how much freedom my school may stand. Looking back, I recently turned 31. I can see what my parents was trying to do. Amen? Trusting God means understanding that he's like your parent. It means to lean out on your understanding at all. My parents were trying to instill a good work ethic in me. My parents was trying to help me to understand how to get ahead in life and prepare me for school. And I was incredibly grateful. God is really like a parent. He has plans we might not understand right now, and he sees things that we can't see in our present. But that doesn't mean that God's plans aren't good. That doesn't mean that what he puts us through right now doesn't matter. What we don't have to understand God's plan is trust him with all our heart. We just need to trust the Lord to understand his plan for us. Can you trust the Lord when it seems impossible? Yes. I have documented my travel visa journey for the 3 weeks now. Initially, I thought that my visa was guaranteed. Nope. I thought the visa was guaranteed. After all, I'd rather receive my work permit. I had money in my bank. I had a great travel record, but unfortunately, none of that mattered to the ambassador, the embassy, or the ambassador. They denied my application. They denied my appeal. I spent $1,000 up to the point preparing for a move of my lifetime, a new chapter of my life. But after all, to deny everything that I had hoped for, everything I had dreamed to be seen impossible. That's probably how Gideon felt when he was to put into position where he had to have faith and trust God, even though his situation seemed impossible. Trusting God doesn't mean what he tells you to do when it makes no sense. Let's look at Gideon, amen? Let's get in the Bible. I gave you a little background going through school, and a person thought not to listen. You must listen, okay? In the Bible, we are told the story of Gideon. Go to Judges chapter 7. The Bible tells us that Gideon and his men were face-to-face with an army of 10,000, 100,000 men, soldiers. I had imagined these soldiers were all physical fit and were ready to throw down at the moment they noticed. Gideon, on the other hand, only had 300 soldiers, some of which I'm sure had never touched a sword. Can you imagine that Gideon probably thought that God had lost his mind? How could they face so many soldiers on their own? How could they win? The Bible tells us that God commanded Gideon at the point when I advise you to blow the trumpet, break the pot, and lit the torch out of nowhere, sparkle out of the night, it will appear as though a huge baton is encompassing the camp. It was creating mass disorientation, and the opposite army will wind down and battle one another. And you know what happened? Gideon obeyed. He did exactly what God commanded him to do, and he was victorious with. Gideon did not lean on his understanding or his situation. He simply trusted in the Lord. After my second visa denial, I went back. I wanted to give up so badly. I even went so far to tell my parents that I just couldn't do it anymore. I didn't have the strength to go any farther. But God said no. Hallelujah. God told me to give it one more try, so I did. Sometimes God tells you something to do, sometimes that appears downright ridiculous, like going into a war with no weapon or applying for a visa after two denials. Faith is obeying God even when you don't really understand why or what he asks you to do. You have to trust God completely. You need all your heart. How to trust God with all your heart. It's the next segment. When I turned to my final visa application, I had a serious conversation with God. I told him that this is what it is. This was a situation where I was placing all my faith on his final application, and then I was done. I wasn't going to apply anymore or to cry over anything. This is the final trip to Tokyo. It would be just that, my final, and I was trusting God to come for me one more time. Not only had I resigned from my job, but I also had left my apartment, told my city hall that I had left and had already shipped my boxes ahead of me. I needed him to come through for me. But if you anything like me, it can be hard. It can, and it was. So God had to bring me through some serious steps to get me to the place of trusting him completely. And these are the steps I share below. Check that God is who he is, say he is. God is who he say he is. If he said it, believe it. All right. You ready? Psalm 9:2. The truth is that in the Bible, there are many ways that God shows us exactly who he is. Before the mountain were brought forth, or even you had been formed, the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 86:8-10. The Bible tells us there is none like you among gods. O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made come down and worship before you. O Lord, you are Lord and shall glorify your name, for you are great and you do wonderful things. You alone are God. Hallelujah. Time and time again, the Bible tells us exactly who God is, and there are stories upon stories. that tells God is trustworthy. He can never lie, that he is always there with us and that he can do anything. Number two, God for help. God knows what you're struggling with. Trust him. He want to help you. Trust him. Tell God your needs, and he can help you, and trust him. Ask him to step in control. Even though God knows that you're struggling, he wants nothing more for you to come and to ask for help. In John 14:14, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, amen? Let's look at John 14:13-14. Whenever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may glorify the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do. Because he wants to build your faith muscle. Your Father wants you to become like him and to build that relationship like him. Number three, holding on God's hand. Whenever you're tired and weary, everything happens around you, it can be easy to let go of God's hand and everything he is. It also takes a lot for you to hold on to him, but hold on to God's unchangeable hand, make all the difference. If we want to trust him, then we have to be physical to do so. No one can trust him for us. That means that trusting God requires us to hold on his hand and the promise of God's word. All right, let's go Deuteronomy. Ready? Deuteronomy 31:8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go before the head of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail or abandon you. Let's go Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hold on to God's hand and be still and trust in his word. Number four, let go and let God handle it. That's Proverbs 3:5-6, trusting in God. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. God keeps no record of wrong. And first of all, God is a faithful God. He can never fail. Be still and know that he's God, Psalm 46. He wants you to talk and have a communication, but acknowledge him. When God have did mighty, many great things for you, he have gave you life. You have to acknowledge who he is. He's the maker. He's the life giver. So place your trust in God, in Jesus' name. That is your Bible study. And God bless you. Women of God, daughters of a king at Rainbow Ministry. And God love you. I do too. It's an altar call, Pastor.
All right. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus to be your Savior, okay, you got a chance to do so tonight. All you got to simply do is say this simple little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. But once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well,
amen.
If you said prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you in favor. Amen. And if you said that prayer, we want you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487. Then press the 1 key, and we'll be one, and you can tell the world that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior tonight. Amen.
All righty, Pastor. All right, Pastor. We got another great show tomorrow, if you like to. It's still on trusting in God, because many things are trying to distract God's people. The smallest thing in this world. We're going to look at distraction tomorrow.
Okay. That sounds great, Pastor.
All right. I will have everything. I hope everybody understood that I was kind of struggling tonight, and please forgive me. But I thank God for you. So I see y'all tomorrow. Women of God, Dogs of King on Rainbow Marriage. And God love you, and we do love you. And we hope you receive this message. And anyone that sees salvation, call in. We'd like to hear from you. In Jesus' name, but God.
Amen.
We thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Pastor. I want to see you tomorrow night.
All right.
All right. Okay. All righty. Okay, so I'm gonna now start taking call. Okay, so people can call in and and we will. Okay, yeah, yes, this is live. Toss some salad. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
No, I need that. I don't engage in anal sex myself.
Okay, good. 111.
Nigger.
Okay, 111. Okay, 111. Okay, 111. You're on. All right, goodbye. 111.
Goodbye.
All right. All righty. Well, that's all the calls. Yeah, that was amazing. And went through them 1, 2, 3. Okay, well, Pastor Beal is out there. He can call in, and I'll take his 269 if he does. All right. 111.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I called you yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the guy you got sick by telling me to eat that tainted cake.
Oh. Okay. Well, sorry about that.
Well, will you help me out?
How can I do that?
I want to file a police report.
Well, file it on B. Fontaine. He's the one to send it.
Do you know how I can find him or give his information to the police so they can find him?
No, I know he lives in Louisiana. That's all I know. His real name is Benjamin Buford Fontaine, the third.
All right. Will you help me file the police report and do an interview with the police then?
Well, how can I help you do that?
Well, the cake was coming to your address, and it was for you, so they need some information to track this person down.
Well...
Someone called in yesterday and said something that you had a history of, I don't know, dosing cakes, giving it to people?
No, I don't have a history of dosing anything. Okay, well, anyway.
Called, will you help me with a police report at least? I mean, do you want this to continue to happen to other people?
Okay, sure. I'll talk to you later then. Mike, 111, you're on the air.
If you see a boy, you suck his dick.
Oh, boy. Okay. 111, you're on the air.
Boy got victimized by Ken dosing a cake. He gave it to me. I passed out, and he raped me.
Okay. Yep. Here we go. Here's Pastor Veal, 269. You're on the air.
So you finally decided to take my call. I've been calling in for 2 weeks straight, and you've been hiding
you
from
have
me
not
consistently.
To my show 2 weeks
you've been hiding from
even
me.
This is the first time I've seen your number, okay?
No, you've been hiding from me consistently because you're afraid of the truth that I'm going to expose, and that's actually Dan Garza, who's been hitting you up in the Discord, and Dan Garza is Rico Martini, and you've done all these terrible things to him. You know, as your manager, I have to say this is a PR disaster for God's Rainbow Ministries. You're costing me advertising dollars every single day that this goes on. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah, really. Uh-huh. Well, you know what? You're a fake and a phony, and you've always been a fake and a phony. Okay, so
Ken,
I'm going
to
say goodbye
to
you, Veal. Thank you for calling in, but you're an
asshole.
I'm
going to have to cancel the show again, Ken. If you hang up on me, I'm going to cancel the show again, and there's nothing you can do.
Good. Cancel. Okay, goodbye. 111. 111, you're on the
air.
Hello,
this is Pastor Veal. This is Pastor Veal.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I want to say what you've been doing on this show. It's very ungodly. Cut me out of the business here. I really don't appreciate it.
Goodbye. All righty. That was a fake Veal. Okay, the real Veal was the first caller. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Veal. This is Pastor Veal. I don't appreciate what you're doing. You're
Oh, goodbye. 111, you're on the air.
You're putting on fake phonies of me, your manager here, and I don't get why you're doing it. This is going to decrease ratings across the board, Ken. It's just terrible. You want me to call in, and then you hang up on me, your manager, when I'm trying to offer you solid advice here. I'm giving you tough love, Ken. And all you're doing is just running. Your track's starting away, and I don't understand that, okay? Can you please explain that?
I don't have to explain anything to you, Pastor Veal, because you're an idiot, okay? And thanks for calling in.
Ken,
and,
this is terrible behavior towards your manager. Wait till Rosemary hears about this. She's going to be very mad, and so is BBF. And they're on the board of CRM now, whether you like it or not.
I hope so. God bless. Goodbye. 111, you're on the air.
This is the real Pastor Veal. You got to hear me out here. This guy who's been calling in, he's pretending to be me. He's making a mockery of your show. It really is horrible what's been happening here. It's just like the Kent thing. There's all these people pretending to be pastors on Blog Talk Radio. I just don't get it.
Well, you know how it is. They want to flatter you by pretending to be you. So to all the Veals out there, goodbye. Have a nice night. Okay, well, that was all the Veals. Oh, maybe we got another Veal. Let's see. We got another Veal? 111, you're on the air.
Well, you dared me to call you, so I'm calling you. This is the real Pastor Veal.
Okay.
I am your manager.
Right. Yeah, right.
I'm
and,
the one who gives you the 1099 form at the end of the year.
What do you manage?
Pardon me? Come again?
What do you manage?
Speak clearly.
What do you manage?
I manage you. N-G-R-M.
No, you don't. And no, you don't.
Yes, I do. I have the legal right and name of G-R-M. You don't.
Yes, I do. And in your dreams, goodbye. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
This is the real Pastor Veal, and I need to know why you're being such an asshole.
Okay, Johnny.
Why are you being such a dick?
Because I can.
For what reason?
For whatever reason I want.
And what is that reason?
Because I can.
You're talking in circles.
Yes, I know. Isn't that great?
No, you're clearly on pills or alcohol.
No, I am not. I don't do those things.
Then why are you acting so illogically?
Who says I'm acting illogically?
I do, Pastor Veal.
Okay, Johnny. Goodbye. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
Look, I have it on paper here that I own 60% of God's Rainbow Ministries, and I deserve some respect. Now, I'm not going to make a mockery of your show, but you have to show me some respect by saying God's Rainbow Ministries is owned by me every 10 minutes of the show.
No, I will not.
If you don't, there's going to be a lawsuit. There's going to be a lawsuit.
Good.
Wait.
Do away. Goodbye. Do away. Goodbye. Okay, 510, you're on the air. Hello, Tommy.
This is not Tommy Monahan. This is Pastor Veal. And I forbid you from continuing to run with the GRM name. It is mine. I own the copyright. I have the lawyers. And if you do a show, if you do another show tomorrow night with that Pastor Wanda, I will sue you. You understand me, Ken?
Okay,
I will sue you.
Okay, goodbye. 111, you're on the air.
This is Pastor Wanda.
Okay.
I'd like to get the number for Pastor Veal. He sounds sexy. I'd like to lick his asshole and mail him an underwear.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give a shout-out to, Juan from Alabama and his kinfolk. Okay. I'm going to give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room. Shout-out to Mike Hunt, Ashley, Discord moderator, Dr. N, Tony Farrar, Gavin Moorhead, Suncoast Ricky. No, I don't have a full hour left, okay? There's only a couple minutes left, okay? And I have two more calls there. I'm going to take them in, and that's that. Okay, 111, you're on the air.
This is Pastor Veal. Huh?
111, you're on the air.
I don't engage in anal sex myself.
Whatever. Goodbye. Okay. So anyway, that's it for tonight, guys. Have a wonderful night, and see you all tomorrow night with Pastor Wanda. Continue on in her message. And Bye-bye. God bless.